This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Friday, September 3rd. While wheat markets have been stabilizing, we've been chopping around kind of back and forth, following corn and beans to some degree. There is a fair amount of pressure that has come into the grain market after Hurricane Ida wreaked havoc across the Gulf and shutting down all the export facilities. As power went out, some of the facilities had some damage to them. Employees can't get there. So all kinds of issues going on, but we are starting to see them slowly reopen. We're starting to see the lights come on. They're assessing damage, make sure there's nothing structural going on, but we expect that we'll probably see export offers going out probably within the next week or so. So that's going to help kind of stabilize corn and soybeans as well. Those two markets took a fairly big hit, as corn in particular, is that's where most of corn is exported out of the U.S. A full 60% of U.S. grain exports go out of the Gulf. So this is a big deal that has happened. And just the uncertainty of when we'll get back on track has kind of leaned on the grain space. But it does appear that the pressure is subsiding. The wheat market, of course, in its own bull market, seems to be the first that's ready to lift higher. Corn and soybeans, of course, they've got harvest just around the corner, and that is likely to add some pressure, or at least keep rallies at bay for the near term. When you look at the charts for corn, there is a huge declining triangle formation over the last several months, which would suggest, if you're a pure technician, that you'll probably take out supports and have a pretty decent wave down. Fundamentally, it's hard to justify that other than you've got harvest coming on. But demand for corn, demand for grains in general, worldwide is huge. We've got record low stocks to use ratios in many of the major grains worldwide. And for corn, the only two major exporters left are the United States and Ukraine. Brazil is already reducing their FOB offers past November. Of course, we know that they had a disastrous crop, so we don't expect to see them really offer anything beyond late fall. And that leaves the U.S. and Ukraine. And Ukraine is a far distant third as far as world corn exporters go. And the rumor was that China had pretty much secured most of what Ukraine was going to offer anyway. There's been some chatter in the last week or so that China has been canceling some of those sales, and that could be if U.S. prices are being offered cheaper, or once they know when the U.S. Product will be in the pipeline and how much it's going to be, might be switching over to the U.S. offers. It's hard to say, but suffice it to say that moving forward, other than harvest pressure, which is not a small deal, but demand for corn is going to be strong. We're going to see very little competition from South America through the next several months. I mean, the earliest that Brazil's crop would be, the next crop would be available, would be spring. And that's their first season corn crop, which most of that stays in country anyway. It's the second season corn crop that gets harvested in June, July, hits the pipeline in July and then through the late summer and fall. That's the earliest then that Brazil would have an opportunity to really compete in that world market for these next several months, beyond what they're doing right now. So it's kind of a wide open door for the U.S. exports for corn. Soybeans are a similar case, although Brazil had a much better soybean crop than they did a corn crop. And for wheat, of course, we are looking at the Southern Hemisphere. Argentina and Australia are the major producers there, and they are major world exporters. So they will be harvesting starting in about late October through November, and their crop usually comes in November, December, January, typically that time window. So far, we don't see major problems developing. Australia looks fine. Argentina looks okay. They've had some weather issues early, but nothing has really developed into a serious situation in Argentina. Now, Argentina does grow hard red winter wheat, usually right around 12% pro, so that competes directly with our Kansas City market. Australia is primarily a soft wheat market. They do have some, a small amount of hard prime, white wheat, but that's going to be affecting mostly the Chicago market. When it comes to high protein hard wheat worldwide, we know stocks are way down, and that's because of the drought in North America. So I would expect to see Minneapolis hold better, and it did as the market corrected over this last 3 weeks. Kansas City and Chicago lost about 60, 70 cents, whereas Minneapolis basically just went sideways. It might have lost around 20 cents or so, but it was a pretty quiet market, just moving sideways as the winter wheats pulled lower. And I think that just speaks volumes about what the fundamental structure is of each of these individual wheat markets. But the bottom line for wheat is that we have seen a notable drop in world production, mostly coming from the major exporters. We know that stocks to use ratios for the major exporters is at a record low. And we know that we didn't see that much of a harvest break worldwide, and world buyers are more short bought than they would be normally this time of year. All of those suggest that there's more demand coming around the corner, and it's going to be supportive to the market. We see world FOB offers this week steady to a little bit higher, and that comes on Russian farmer even starting to let loose of some of their crop. They need to make room for sunflowers and corn. They need to generate some cash for winter wheat seeding. So there are some reasons that the Russian farmer is starting to become more active in the market. That has, you know, lowered Russian domestic prices somewhat, but not so much the FOB offers. We're also watching the Russian government increase the export tax for Russian wheat. This week, it looks like for next week, they're going to take it up to $46.50 per ton. That's up $7.10 just in a week. That's based on the 7-day average from the cash market from the Moscow exchange, and that is sitting at 266.5, which is up $10 on the week. So things getting even tighter still for Russian wheat. They've just not been able to compete very well in the export market, largely because of this export tax. But the government imposed that several months ago in an effort to slow down exports, obviously, and protect domestic supplies. Even with a near-record crop last year, Russian domestic supplies and prices, supplies were going down and prices were going up. So the government stepped in, and with this year's harvest being disappointing and yields being less than expected, the government pretty much announced that they're going to keep that tax in place for quite a while. And I would expect it would be for the rest of the marketing year. Unless we get into the spring and we see just a lot of stocks around Russia, but that's unlikely to be the case. So that keeps Russia kind of in the shadows as far as setting world price. But the Black Sea will still be the region from which world price is set. Ukraine had a great crop, record crop. Romania, Bulgaria, all those countries had very good crops. So they are kind of taking over leadership in the world market. They're dominating the Egyptian trade. So even with Russia being largely absent, the Black Sea is still going to be setting the tone. But generally speaking, I'm still bullish wheat, kind of becoming more and more bullish wheat. I think we've got a very strong fundamental foundation underneath this market, and it comes on the heels of a bullish market in corn and soybeans. So world grain supplies are declining, prices are rallying, and it's just a matter of kind of grinding our way higher, I think. We're still targeting the early October time window. That's a normal seasonal time frame, and it comes just as the harvest in the southern hemisphere kind of gets rolling and that product hits the world pipeline. So I would be looking for the markets to be moving higher into that time window. In the meantime, Monday is a holiday, and Labor Day, we will be closed on the futures market, but they will reopen Monday night. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.